Welcome to the Solution for Success show, brought to you by Nashville Success Summit. I'm your host, Joanne Ecton, and today I'm speaking with Dr. Carmen April. Dr. April is a podiatrist, and she's the owner of the Foot and Ankle Health Care Center here in Nashville. She's only been here in Nashville for about 2 years, but she has a great story to share with all of us.
How did you get started? What made you decide that you were going to be a podiatrist? Where did that come from?
Yeah, well, basically, all of my life I knew that I wanted to go into medicine. I have kind of been going down that field since elementary school, basically. And it wasn't until I got to college and was really kind of thinking about, well, what specialty would I want to go into, that I kind of came across podiatry. And I was an athletic trainer when I was in undergrad at Mississippi State. I worked with all of the sports teams, football, women's basketball, women's volleyball, and just was able to treat a lot of injuries in those athletes. And, you know, just to get the satisfaction of, you know, seeing an injured athlete be able to get better and improve because of what I was doing for them, that made a big difference for me. The lifestyle that I was told I would have as a podiatrist, you could make it, you know, what you wanted to. If you wanted to be on call a lot, you could. If you didn't want to be on call a lot, you didn't have to. And that really is true. And so, it seemed to really fit the lifestyle that I wanted to have. And it's great. I love it. I enjoy that as well as being able to run my own practice.
Now, you've kind of been jumped around, right, from Mississippi to Pennsylvania, and I think you went to Michigan for a bit, and now you're in Tennessee. How long have you been here in Nashville?
Yeah, well, I've been in Nashville just at 2 years. I moved here 4th of July weekend 2 years ago, and actually I cannot believe it's already been 2 years because it seems like I've met so many people and really kind of learned Nashville and tried to really network. I had no choice when I decided to start my own business and, you know, not being from here. I had to get out and meet people. So, yeah, it's been right at 2 years.
Right when you got here, you started your business, right? And I think you grew your practice to over 800 patients in less than a year and a half, right? So you did a tremendous job of just jumping in and getting started.
Yeah, I've always been a go-getter.
How did you find the patients? I mean, how was it that you were able to build up your practice so quickly?
Basically, I knew that I would have to get out there and network. Like I said, when I was a student, a medical student, and when I was in residency, I spent a lot of time in my professor's offices and in my attending's offices when I was in residency. So I knew that one day I wanted to eventually open my own practice. And if all you focus on is the medical aspect of medicine and you have that idea of wanting to open a practice, if you don't pay attention to learning business and learning how to get out there and network people, you're never going to make it. So I learned that pretty early on. Both of my parents are entrepreneurs. They both own very different businesses, and neither one of them have anything to do with medicine. But, you know, a lot of business concepts are similar across, across different career lines. And so I learned a lot from my parents by working in their businesses growing up and, just picking people's brains. Like, it doesn't matter what industry different folks were in. If I felt like it was something business related and I would meet and I would network with people, I would pick their brain about, how they have succeeded in business and learn from people, learn their mistakes so I learn what not to do and to learn the good things that, they've learned along the way, the things that have made them successful. And I've tried to learn from that.
Honestly, one of the basic principles that Nashville Success Summit is founded on is for business owners to help each other, because I firmly believe You can't do it by yourself, right? You need a support system. What kind of support system do you have now that you've established your practice? You're in a new city, you know, obviously in the day of communication, you can pick up the phone and call anyone you want, but what kind of support system do you have here in Nashville?
Right. Well, as far as support for bringing patients into my office, which is obviously very important, that's how I survive and stay in business, the primary care providers are very important to me. They are awesome support. So the primary care doctors, as well as physician assistants and nurse practitioners that refer to me. So that is a really good, consistent referral base that I have. And, you know, the ones that I have reached out to have been very supportive. They've all been here in the Nashville community for a while, and they were able to say, okay, you know, this is what works around here. This is what doesn't work around here. So, you know, basically just putting a business suit on and the business mindset and going out to their offices, introducing myself, saying, you know, hi, I'm Dr. April. I'm a podiatrist. I'm new in town, but I'm highly trained. I'm skilled. I know what I'm doing. Please trust me to see some of your patients. And basically when I did that, they figured out, you know, that I was treating their patients the way that they wanted the patient seen and treated. I would always send, and I still do, send a note back to the referring provider, and that builds that relationship. So they're always a really good support for me. My parents, like I said, being business owners themselves, have been a good support system. Some of the doctors and the attendings that trained me in residency, I can still pick up the phone and call them at any time. And they're there to answer my questions, whether it be about, you know, a complicated medical situation or, you know, a question about billing or some type of ethical question when it comes to dealing with patients. It doesn't matter. It's just that relationship. When you build good, strong, solid relationships with people and you build that network, you can always go back and ask them for help.
I know when I met you, it was at the City Club. It was a networking event. I don't want to call you an overachiever, but you come pretty close. You're constantly out in the community. You're doing all kinds of outreach. I think you have a program that you initiated called Knock Your Socks Off. So you're just a crazy busy lady. So tell me, what drives you to do all that? Tell us a little bit about what a life and, you know, day in your life is like.
I've been called an overachiever before, so I'll accept it. There's nothing wrong with that. I like to stay busy, and really, I almost don't know any different because that's how I grew up. My mother is the exact same way. So she has always been involved in lots of community activities, the junior league. So every time she had junior league stuff going on, volunteer projects, me and my sister and my brother all tagged along. So, you know, just growing up like that, it's funny because she and my dad have been married for 37 years, and they're kind of opposite in that, you know, my dad is really laid back. He knows how to kind of take a chill pill every now and then and sit down and take a break from stuff. My mom doesn't know the definition of that. She's constantly on the go. So, you know, when you grow up that way, and, you know, just always kind of doing stuff and giving back to the community. If I'm sitting around not doing something, I get bored really quickly.
Okay.
So I think that's what it is. I have a short attention span, and I like to stay involved. I really do like to stay involved. So for me, you know, it's fun. It's therapy. It's what keeps me sane and happy outside of my office because, you know, a lot of times things that I deal with in my office and with my patients can be pretty serious on a daily basis. And so everybody has to have that creative outlet. And so all of those extracurricular things that I do are kind of my creative outlet that helps me to break away from some of the seriousness of everyday office life.
Gotcha. How do you keep it all straight? I mean, do you keep a pretty strict calendar, or do you just find events and say that sounds like a good thing, let me go check it out? I mean, how I guess scheduled and disciplined are you when it comes to folding in all of your community events, your networking, your the activities for your practice, your marketing, and you know, all the things that you do, and keep it all straight without making yourself crazy.
Well, yeah, certainly all of those things can make you crazy if you're not organized. And I'm a super duper organized person. That is the only way that I function. And mm-hmm. I am a list person. So mm-hmm. I love to make lists. I've been making lists for as long as I can remember. And I get so much satisfaction when I literally can scratch out a task that I've mm-hmm. completed. So I always make my list, usually a week in advance, and then I will kind of tailor things more specifically the night before. So, you know, today is Friday. The next day I will have, if there's something else that needs to be added to the list for Saturday, I'll do that today so that when I wake up tomorrow, I know exactly what I have to do. And with the advent of iPhones and, you know, all of the smartphones and things like that, I'm able to always have those lists on me. So mm-hmm. I use my smartphone to keep my list. I keep everything in the calendar on my iPhone. It gives me alerts. Those are very, you know, very helpful. And, you know, as different events come along, I try to stay pretty savvy with social media. So if I see events that pop up on Facebook or Twitter and they look pretty interesting, I check them out. And, you know, I come across some really good networking and seminars and educational events from finding out from them on social media.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Especially here in Nashville, I'm just amazed at how much is going on here. It's great.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing that I love about Nashville, because as you mentioned earlier, you know, I call Mississippi home, but lived in Philadelphia, lived in Detroit, and now here in Nashville. And one thing about people in Nashville, they network, and I love that because it's helped me so much moving here, you know, to meet so many people in such a short amount of time. So, mm-hmm. you know, it is, there's a lot to keep track of, and, you know, there are days if I've had a long day at the office and I'm kind of tired and, you know, the last thing I want to do is to go stand up and network. Sometimes you realize in order to grow your business, that's what you have to do. So there's surely have been days when I just would want to go home and kick my feet up and watch TV or do whatever. But I said, you know what? I need to go to this event. I need to meet people. And those are usually the times when I really meet people who will turn out to be awesome connections for me.
Well, I don't know about you, but it seems like the times when you don't feel like going are usually the times when you need to go the most, right?
So. Exactly.
So let's talk about your business. So you've been in business for, what, 2 years now, right?
Yes, it's about a year and a half. Yep, year and a half.
Okay, a year and a half. And so do you set goals for your business? I mean, do you have laid out what you want to achieve in the next year or so?
Yes, certainly. And once again, I write those down because I think that when you write down your dreams and goals and visions, then that kind of helps them. You hold yourself accountable. And, you know, it helps those things kind of come to pass. So I definitely do write those down, you know, share them with friends and people that I can trust, because you can't share everything with everybody. Because not everybody has your same vision in mind. And, you know, sometimes you're talking to somebody that doesn't understand your vision or your plan for it. They may have a tendency to shoot it down as not a good idea, or, you know, you're moving too fast, or do you really think that'll work? So you have to be very careful with who you share those visions with. But always I write them down. I create vision boards. I actually have two of them where I write things out on the vision board, you know, the big poster board that you can go to the craft store and buy. I write them down, like tear things, words, phrases, inspirations, things like that out of magazines or what have you, and I have them, you know, in my home. I keep them up as a constant reminder of my vision and to stay on track with that.
But why two of them?
So you know what? It's funny because when I started the first one, that vision board was kind of my vision board for the next 5 years. And then a friend of mine had a vision board party actually at the beginning of this year. She had a bunch of magazines that she wanted to clean out of her home. So she had a vision board party with it was a girls' night. We had food and, you know, creating vision boards. And so that one I made more specifically just for this year.
Got
so
it.
I have one okay. that's a broad picture of 5 years, and then this one that's specifically for 2012.
Okay, that makes sense. Plus, that's a great way to clean out your magazines and have a good time with your girlfriend as well.
Exactly. So it's interesting that, you know, we're now into August, the 8th month of the year, and I've looked at that vision board that I created in January, and I was like, wow, it's pretty cool when you can look back and see, okay, that's happened. I've been able to do that. I see that happening now. So it's pretty awesome to do that and feel validated because you've achieved what you set out to do.
Having that focus and then being able to see it is a reminder in your life all the time. It just helps you to keep it top of mind. Yeah, I'm a big believer in that as well.
Yes.
What do you see as the main challenge that's facing you and your business or your industry right now? What do you think is the main thing that you need to work through to get you to the next level in your business?
Yeah, so the main thing is just, and it's a huge thing, that a lot of my colleagues and I are all trying to work through is the changing face of healthcare.
Yep.
So, you know, healthcare is changing no matter what side politically you choose to want to be on, for or against, you know, the new changes in healthcare laws and policy. Either way, it's changing. You know, it's changing for the population, it's changing for the patient, and it's also changing on our side for the physicians that are treating the patients. And the biggest issue that I've seen when I first started my practice and from what I've heard from other colleagues that have been practicing for years, 20, 30 years, is that reimbursements are down significantly. I mean, some almost tenfold. So we're in a predicament where you're having to see more patients just to make up for that lost revenue because of decreased reimbursement. You're having to see more patients in less time. And that, you know, it's a constraint. When you look at it from a purely business standpoint, it makes things very difficult. So sometimes that can be a little disheartening. And, you know, everybody is trying to come up with different ways of figuring out how to deal with that. You know, I went to a conference in Las Vegas two months ago. And really the buzzword of the entire medical conference was everybody's looking for alternate streams of revenue, additional
yep.
streams of income. That's what everybody was saying. And, you know, I don't know if 20 years ago physicians then would have thought that the day would come where you're having to look at alternate streams of revenue and adding things to your practice. But because of how things are changing, that is what's happening. So just trying to figure out how to adapt to that. And so for me coming in, you know, only being in practice by myself for a year and a half, I'm coming in seeing that this is a problem.
Right.
So, you know, it's interesting. So that's the biggest hurdle that I'm trying to overcome now. And, you know, at least I'm not the only one feeling it.
Right.
All of my colleagues are too. So we're kind of brainstorming. Everybody's throwing around ideas of what to do to, you know, to get through it.
Yeah, and you know, that's probably a whole line of conversation we can keep on this going for a couple of hours, right? So we won't come up with a solution. So
yeah.
You're a sole practitioner, right?
Yes.
From what I can tell, you are, it looks like you've done some pretty unorthodox things like, you know, creating training videos and getting out speaking on different topics and such. So are you using that right now to help grow your practice? Are you using that kind of marketing to grow your practice or maybe even to think about selling that knowledge as an information product for another stream of income?
What happened as far as those training videos are concerned, what prompted me to do that is my assistant that I first started off with when I, you know, first started practice, she had to leave because of some family issues that was going on, and that put me in a predicament, like, oh, my gosh, I've got to get a new assistant and completely train someone new with all of that information. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what, in the beginning when I first started the practice and I wasn't, you know, seeing 20 people every day, 20 patients every day, that was fine to be able to take the time out to mm-hmm. do that training on a one-on-one basis and take as much time as I needed to do that. But the busier I got, I didn't have the time to do that. So with the assistant that I have now, I was able to, you know, certainly show her things hands-on, but then I also came up with these series of about 100 videos that I did of every topic, everything that you could ever imagine in my office so that she could watch those videos. You know, it's kind of that see one, do one, teach one. So I can tell you something all day, but if I tell you and then I show you and then you can do it and teach it to me or teach it to someone else, you've got it. So, right. You know, it's been very helpful for, you know, her to be able to go back and look at those videos. And, you know, as I continue to grow and add more assistance to the practice, those videos are still there. They can look at it. So for me, that was very important. The speaking different panels that I've been on and speaking engagements. I love doing that type of stuff. I mean, I love to teach. So I love teaching. I love being able to share information with the community. And, you know, when you're standing up on a panel or on a podium or whatever, and you're looking at the audience and you're saying something that they've never heard before and they get excited, you can kind of see their eyes light up like, wow, I've never heard that before. No one ever explained it to me like that. I love that. Absolutely love it. So I love to teach, love to be able to do those. But, you know, it's also really good marketing and advertising for me, too, because when I go to these different events that I'm asked to speak on a panel or what have you, I take my business card, sharing this information with them. I'll have patients that will come to my office, people that are there in the audience that say, you know, hey, I've got this thing going on with my foot. You sound like you know what you're talking about. I'll come see you. So you
right.
know, it's all really, really good marketing, advertising, and then just me giving back to the community, which I love.
At least this society here in Nashville, because I've only moved here from the beginning of this year, very much a relationship society.
Yes.
And so by getting out there and letting people get to know you as a human, as a person, and I mean, you've just got this great big bright smile. You're a very smart woman, but you're also very approachable. And just being out there in the community lets people see that part of you. So you're just a face behind the name. Let me ask you about your Knock Your Socks Off program that you're sponsoring, right? And I think it was just a few days ago that you held this event. Tell us about it. What's it about, and what made you start it?
Exactly. So the event was this past Tuesday, and it was very successful. I am so happy at the response that I got. So the Knock Your Socks Off Back to School Sock Drive is the signature program, a philanthropic program of my practice. And basically I saw a need in the community for children and youth going back to school without clean socks to wear. And it's so interesting because it's raised, you know, I've raised a gotten a lot of donations from it, but it's also raised awareness to the fact that, you know, there are kids that go back to school not just without having book bags and school supplies, but there literally are hundreds of kids in our community who go back and don't have clean underwear, they don't have socks, they don't have the appropriate uniform, and it's really sad. You know, if you're a kid that doesn't even have those basic things, you can't focus on your academics in school because you already feel, you know, like you're, like you don't have what's necessary. You feel inferior. And
right.
I hate that. The idea, you know, of children going back to school without socks or holes in their socks or socks that aren't clean, you know, I feel really bad. And so I saw that need. You know, I see the effects that improper hygiene can have on the feet, whether it be adults or children, and I wanted to address it. So I decided to throw this event, and I wanted it to be, you know, instead of just having a basket or a box set up in my office and have people come and donate socks, I wanted to actually make it an event where people could come together, you know, everybody kind of know about the need, know about the cause and what we were doing, and come together for an evening of meeting other people, networking, and then also donating these socks for a good cause. So we had a great turnout. I received 816 pair of socks.
Oh, my goodness.
Long. Yes. 816 pair of socks. Yes. It is fabulous. And then I still have donations coming in. So there are, you know, I'm almost at 1,000. I think when I calculated yesterday, because I was still picking up socks from people yesterday, and when I calculated yesterday, I'm at 960 plus. So, yeah, any day now I should hit 1,000, and I'm very excited. So
wow.
All of the donations are going to benefit the Oasis Center here in Nashville, which just does some really fabulous things for children and youth, and they're going to be distributing those to children in need as they go back to school.
Well, I think that's fabulous, and I love the fact that you did something very focused and specific, right? Instead of saying solve world hunger, it's give a kid a pair
right.
of socks, something every single one of us can do.
Exactly. Every single one of us can do that, and, you know, sometimes when you make it specific for people like that, it's easy, and folks have fun with it. I mean, I had friends calling me saying, now, what kind of socks am I supposed to bring? Do they have to be this? What sizes? You know, I mean, I just love that people were so into it, you know, and they were having fun, but they were serious about it, you know?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah. We had so many donations. I gave prizes to the top three donors, so that kind of initiated a little competition.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out to be really fabulous. I've heard nothing but good things. And, you know, like I said, just the fact that I've had some people to say, you know what, thank you so much for doing this, because I never knew that need was out there. I never knew
yeah.
that there are kids that go back without socks and underwear.
This sounds like the makings of a new annual event, huh?
It is, and that's what I said. I mean, I was actually getting people donating money and socks to me before the day of the event. So I said,
mm-hmm.
you know what, I think I'm on to something here. I was so happy just to know that all of these socks are going to go to benefit kids who really need it. So it definitely is going to be an annual event, and I'm going to start planning now for next year's event.
Sounds great. Dr. Carmen, I think just having met you, we had a very brief conversation in a crowded room, and you just struck me as someone who's got a huge heart, and I'm very happy to have this conversation with you and to learn more about you and your practice. And I just want to ask you, you know, for anyone that might be listening to this interview, what is there anything you want to share in terms of whether it's your business or your community events or foot care? Is there anything that you want to share with the listeners here that maybe something you've learned that along the way that you can share with the rest of us who are still struggling to figure it all out?
And actually, I'm still struggling to figure it all out. Since the truth be told, I am still struggling every day to figure it all out and, you know, to have that balance. Like I said, I think I do a pretty good job of balancing my schedule, but there's still things that I want to take on, still community events that I would love to participate in and different causes that I would love to make an impact on, things with my practice, even other business ventures. You know, I think once you're kind of bitten by that entrepreneurial bug, it never leaves you.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fact that the practice has gone so well from its inception, and, you know, I know that I worked so hard and I was very diligent to get all of that done, to actually see that come to fruition, I'm saying, wow, you know, I really did that. I had a goal, set mm-hmm. my goal. I worked hard towards it, and I achieved it. So I kind of feel like, I mean, I don't think I can do everything. I know I can't do everything. But mm-hmm. there are some other things that I feel like if I want to do it, I can. So that's kind of what I've learned, the big picture that I've learned throughout this journey. I mean, I came to a new city, had never lived in Nashville. This isn't my hometown. Came uh-huh. here, and I knew two people. My sister was here at the time in dental school, but she has since graduated and is doing her residency back home, and another friend that I went to college with. But other than that, I didn't know anyone here. So I've done that. I've been able to meet people and get out and start a practice in a place that was basically foreign to me. It kind of empowers me. And I feel like, you know, if there's another business venture that I want to take on at some point in time, I could do that because I know how to plan, how to be realistic about things, and how to work through the steps to achieve your goal. So, you know, that's the thing that I would tell anyone who is looking to start a business, has that idea, believe in yourself, make the right contacts, and diligently follow through with what it's going to take to achieve those goals. Because, you know, there are people who have good dreams and they have good ideas, but if you're not diligent and, you know, in what you're doing and you just kind of haphazardly say, oh, well, I'm going to start this business, and you don't really follow the right steps, it may mm-hmm. not succeed the way that you want to. So it's always good to have those dreams and visions, but make sure that you're talking to the right people and doing your appropriate research at the same time. But if it's something that's in your heart's desire to do, go for it.
Yeah, I love that advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. I firmly believe that no one ever has a dream that they can't achieve if they don't set their mind to it, right? If you set your mind to it, the reason you have that dream is because the talent to achieve it is within you.
Exactly. I believe that wholeheartedly. There's a scripture, I can't tell you exactly where it is, but it says a man's gift will make room for him. And I believe that wholeheartedly, just like what mm-hmm. you said. I heard a man say that one time, and I was just captivated. I was like, what? Say that again.
Yeah,
he was like,
yeah.
Oh, it's scripture. He was like, I didn't just make that up, and I just love it. A man's gift will make room for him. So, you know, it's just like what you said. If it's in your heart to do it, everything will kind of come into play if you're diligent in pursuing that dream. Everything will come together for you.
Yep. Well, and you're definitely a great example of that when, you know, just looking at your history and all the things that you've achieved. And I know that you're just going to go on and do even greater things. So I'm very happy to have met you, happy to have this conversation and get to know you a little better. And I do want to just to wrap up then. So for someone who needs your help, how do they find you?
Personally, well, I do have a website, and it is www.myfoothealthonline.com, and my office is in the Nashville area. It's actually just right outside of the city limits in the Madison Rivergate area. That phone number is 615-252-6929. So we're certainly there to help anyone who's having foot pain, any type of foot and ankle issues or injuries or what have you. We're there. Check us out. Either give us a call or check us out online. And, you know, there's even more information on the website, on the MyFootHealthOnline.com website, and you can actually submit information directly to us on, I think it's the last page. It's the Contact Us page, and we get all of those emails as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. So, Dr. Carmen, this has been great. Thank you for taking the time out and talking with me.
Dr. Carmen is an inspiration for all of us that we can achieve whatever we set our minds to doing. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and as always, if you'd like to get a copy of the recording or the transcript, they're available on the expert interviews portion of our website at NashvilleSuccessSummit.com. Thank you, and I'll talk to you again soon.